Does everybody have a beverage?
And away we go.
Where's Jules?
Well, that's a dark one.
I don't have it poured out yet. What is that? Doers?
Wow.
No, it's Dua.
I never ended up re-editing that last episode. So the stuff you said at the end is it's in. It's
golden.
Oh, what did we say? I don't even remember.
Something about Newegg?
Newegg?
Something about the Newegg CEO and what head looked like an egg. That his head looked like an egg.
But it was actually the CEO of Alibaba or something.
Oh, but yeah, it looked like an egg. Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. I didn't feel like going back in and re-editing it.
And this one's staying in this one. So there you go.
All right, here we go. Welcome to the Curiosity Public Podcast. My name is Dutch.
My name is Jules.
I gotta get the special effects right here. That's weak. But anyway, ephemeral, eternal, and enlightened Dylan.
Sound like you're trying to be a character from the MCU.
He's appearing in a puff of cigar smoke.
I thought MCU is dead.
It is, yeah.
Is MCU still going? Oh, you know what I love? Okay, let's talk about that. Forget all this. I love it because Dutch loved that like weird emo, dark and brooding DC. He likes to turn off the lights, start crying, wear all black, drink his blackened or whatever drink it is. But now he can't do that because the Superman is all light and fluffy and has dogs.
He has a dog.
He has a pet dog and it's all nice. And then it's, I don't like nice. I like the devil. That's what he says. I quote it. That's Dutch, 2025.
Pretty much 100% spot on. I have not seen it yet, but
and you know what? There is no Zack Snyder's cut. It's the dumbest thing in the history of cinema. I said it right there. Dumbest thing. You don't put out a movie so that you can put out another movie. It's idiotic. Put out the
The artist battle against big corporate. There is a James Gunn cut. Apparently.
Have you seen the Blade Runner director's cut? You're saying that's BS too.
I'm saying sometimes I want none of that. I want the original intended film.
Yeah, okay? And that's the director.
Never get with corporate.
Mix in.
See, here's the analogy, right? I like things that are not finished in other barrels. Dutch and Jules, they put the original liquor and put it in Sauternes and wine barrels and mix it all around, and they want part deux of the original liquor.
The director's cut is like uncut bourbon. The producers of the movies that go to the studios, they cut it. They add water to it.
And then this is filtered.
No, it's the original. You know what it is?
Really?
No,
that's a great analogy, Dad.
No, it's not. Hold up.
My analogy is better.
No, it's not. It's like this.
That just analogy is better than you can come up with.
It's me drinking the uncut, unfiltered bourbon, and then you guys putting in ice and water in it. That's what it is.
To add the Kentucky water in this scenario.
As long as it's Kentucky water, I'm good.
I want the original from the bottle.
Right.
I want the original from the theater.
The director's original vision, not the one that you watered down by the...
So what they're showing us is not the vision. Are you kidding me?
That's exactly what studios do.
Why they have a director's
desk, Jules. Jules lives this.
It is the dumbest flip in cinema.
What did you call Jules?
That
was too good.
I am so tired.
Yeah, I'm giving Dutch a virtual high five on that.
I am tired. I am tired of all of these director's cuts.
We can tell you're tired. What are you sipping on, Dylan? What are you sipping on?
All right. I'll do a bottle tease.
It's too good.
The heck? Is that like a sangria?
You're never going to get this.
That top looks really familiar. Old Aaron.
Wow.
It's Aaron.
Aaron, 21. Okay, so speaking of that,
hey Aaron,
Jules, what do you?
You know, I know Jules likes to call it Aaron, right? But here's another reason why you don't want to say that. Aaron is very close to a drink in Turkey. It sounds like a Turkish like yogurt drink.
It's actually not, but
no,
I don't know how you pronounce it?
How do you? I'm just saying, it looks like it and sounds like it.
It doesn't sound.
They
like
all
it.
Look the same.
Let me just say,
I'm
Constantinople adjacent. I'm Constantinople adjacent. Okay, and let me just say,
clearly, I just pronounce Scotch and the Turkish yogurt.
Closest friends in Turkey. And they call it Aaron.
Like the scotch?
Yeah, like the scotch, yeah.
I'm going to change it up today and go on.
Better be a new bottle.
It's a dumb.
It's not a new bottle.
Foursquare 2000.
But 2007.
Wow. How have you not
been actually surprised I still have this. I know. That's why I was checking. I think I'm actually further along with 2009 than I am with
Jules is going to get messed up in this episode.
I don't know. What I understand is, don't you get bored?
No.
Don't you get bored?
It's a challenge. No, man. It's a challenge just to go through the 10 bottles I have on my shelf. Try to get through it before you guys get me another SC4, PR, whatever.
SC3. Look, the thing is, I'm just...
What are you drinking, Dutch?
You're not going to be able to guess this one either. I don't think.
What?
Is it a
Scott? It's just some random... Wait. Stop. Is it an Isla?
No.
Oh, yeah. It's your little pick or independent bottling, right?
Yes. This is the 10-year-old Orkney, so 10-year-old Highland Park.
Mm-hmm. That's why it's so dark.
Very dark. For 10 years old, it's just a very wet barrel, 57%, and good pickup. It's enjoyable. Easy sipper. Yours was the pick you picked up from there was good too, right?
Yeah. It's gone. It's done.
All right. Yeah, we're not going to be discussing movies in today's episode.
Obviously, because Dutch is so bitter about the dog.
I still haven't seen
Crypto.
Comment below about the dog.
But we are going to be talking about our favorite topic. Is it our favorite topic? But it's spirits
competition. With tariffs and union busting?
Yeah. So today's episode is about the International Whiskey Competition. And there's been some articles floating around about the results from it. And
I love lists, man.
Do you?
So give me a new list that I have to go over.
On the results, here, I'm going to put this in the chat. This is the actual official results website. Look at that.
Yeah, I love it. No, I love the Squarespace.
Way,
dude. I love
no
the Squarespace.
Way. This is still the production
server. You know what I like about this? It starts with Mandarin. Oh,
now,
Mandarin.
Your website, you guys can follow along at home. It's mandarin-kazoo, kazoo-kz9n.squarespace.com/results.
Okay, this kind of makes sense here. Number one is Cavalon.
That's a nice bottle.
Yeah, but
Fino Sherry Cask.
It's very politicalist.
7.04 points.
Yeah, that's...
And 2 decimal points, dude.
Yeah, they get really detailed here. So it is cask strength, single malt. That's nice. Not one of the usual picks, I would say.
Yeah, the people who wanted their spirits advertised, like the Hogback's single malt and a lot of Cavalon. You
know, actually, navigating through this, I have to say, you said this earlier, I think, Dutch, but like navigating this website
is Yeah. So we'll go through...
A good job, Squarespace. Good job.
Let's go through some of the items here. So first, we'll just go through the top 15 real quick.
Yeah.
Dylan already mentioned the Cavalon Soloist is number one. Number two, A. Smith Bowman Cask Strength, Batch 4. Presumably an amazing bottle that none of us will ever really get our hands on because it's so limited in production.
Difference, though, between one and two is 0.03 points.
Sorry. Very tight.
This one's really tight. Whatever, yeah, exactly.
Number three, Jack Daniel's 12-year batch 3. Don't know about that. Yes, Hogback, Peated Smoke, Single Malt Whiskey. What's that? Who knows? Uncle Nearest, Single Barrel, so who cares? Mr. Sam, Whiskey Row, Cask Strength. Doers, Double 21. That's surprising. And then we got another Cavalon, the Manzanilla Sherry Cask. Then the Elijah Craig Barrel Proof. Then another Cavalon, and then 1792 Full Proof. And then another Uncle Nearest. And then Thomas H. Handy, and then Stag. What a weird list.
Really weird. It's all over.
This is bizarre. But yeah, the nice thing is that they do have it broken down by region and even like subcategories within the regions. Any of these that you guys want to take a look at?
I just want to mention Mr. Sam is there. Mr. Sam is a limited edition, super... like special whiskey that costs like, I don't know, an arm and a leg, right? It's like $300, I think. And it's a blend, Canadian and American whiskeys. And I bring this up because I've tried it. I actually had it at a bar at a function with a workplace adjacent people. And I wasn't like super blown away. I initially thought I got punked like Ashton Kutcher and they gave me the wrong pour because it tasted like what I expected, which is just a weird mash of American whiskeys. And it didn't particularly taste like elevated, elegant. It was just sweet and whatever, savory. I don't know, man. I'm just bored. That's what's happening, Mr. Sam.
The best blended scotch was the Dewar's 21, the double. Second place was the double 32, which we, of course, rated very highly in our own scoring system. But again, that was a few years ago, and I don't know if the quality has remained at the level it was back then.
So, you know what I'm looking at? I'm going to mention this, that out of all of this, if you look at all of these things in the top 15 whiskeys of 2025, aside from maybe the Dewar's Double 21, all of these have very non-elegant or not elegant finishes. Okay,
so the top 15. The top 15. Yeah, you're talking about
all top 15. They don't have the elegant flavor. So, meaning the mouthfeel and the finish it's not complete.
I would say that I would maybe say the Bowman Cask Strength does, because the only one I've tried, which was probably batch 2, and I only tried it once. Jules, you and I tried it at the same time.
You're telling me that the finish is elegant on that? I don't think so. Even the 21 Dewar's Double, I wouldn't call it the most elegant drink. And so it's weird. It's a very weird list, because the entire list consists of front end flavors. So I get a little bit suspicious. I'll put on my tinfoil hat and say, do they spit? Because they must spit.
Yeah.
And that's all you were leaning towards.
Right? Because I've been noticing that the spitters, they just want that front end flavor. It's very superficial, right? And so I have a problem with that. Again, I'll plug our Ultimate Spirits competition in that we do the whole thing.
Yeah.
Everything.
Here's an interesting thing too, is if you go down to the bottom, it has all the whiskeys that scored over 90 points. And you have to get down to number 66, which is the Craigellachie 23, which I think you would probably say is elegant.
Not bad, yeah.
To get one that I think would fit your standards.
With the finish, yeah.
Yeah, it's got to have good front and end, right?
And, yeah.
The
yeah.
Alpha and the Omega.
Yeah.
I mean, it's Aberfeldy 21, okay, whatever. That's the Ardbeg 25, sure. I think that's pretty good, I would say. And it only got 93.98. So,
my favorite one is actually 82.
No, the only way.
Unreleased.
Man, the only way the Ardbeg 25 is like 32 on the list, 93, is because they spit. They had to have spat, right? And I'm just going down. Yeah, I don't know, man. Strandham Mountain Angel 12 year. That's on the list. I don't know, man. I think they spit.
See two Strandham. There's another. Strandham's original.
You can see at least last year's list of judges. And
was it me? Am I there?
It was not any of us.
Then I guess it doesn't matter then.
It's a bunch of people that are mostly marketing themselves and getting.
So what was Whiskey of the Year last year? Oh, Altmore 25.
I guess we need to write something, right? To be legit.
I don't know.
And nowadays, AI could write everything, right? Yeah. I think we need to publish a book.
I want to look at the entry form here. Entries are now open. And so there's a $450 entry fee that includes Whiskey of the Year category and one additional category of your choice. For any additional categories, a fee of $50 per category applies. Two samples per entry are required, so two bottles. Distilleries, importers, distributors, and even fans are encouraged to submit their favorite whiskeys. Hey, maybe we should
submitting
bottles that we think are good to whiskey competition.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah, but if they drink and spit.
It doesn't matter. That's a story right there.
All right, this is what we got to do. Let's play the long game here. Let's try to get one of us into one of these competitions and learn the actual process.
You know what I think we should do?
Drinking the whole time and getting trashed and screw the whole thing up.
You know what the better one is? To look at the pictures of the tasting panel and start thinking.
You're not allowed to do that and judge by how it looks anymore.
No, I just said, I was going to say, who looks like a nice person or not. That's it.
Yeah, the first guy here is based in San Francisco, and he's just, what are these titles?
Got a killer mustache.
What is a senior master of whiskey?
Yeah, exactly.
I think I am a senior master of whiskey.
Yeah. So the next
I am the master of whiskey in this room.
The next guy is a brand rep for Glencairn.
He's worked for many different brands.
The next guy is a specialist of wine.
Wine, yeah.
Yeah, sommelier. Mm. The next one is a award-winning writer and consultant, and the most experienced and in-demand drinks competition judge in the world, or one of them. Yeah. So like I said, I mean, there's a lot of people, I think, just marketing themselves. There's a guy in hospitality here. This guy was former managing partner of Mr. Coco in Las Vegas.
Mr. Coco?
Man, are we just a-holes?
Yes.
You know that by default.
Jeez. Who doesn't like a dog?
I feel like everybody who's in the industry is, they're biased. They're very biased.
Hard hitting.
Yeah, I was waiting for Dylan to attack.
And they don't have any incentive to be truthful. Like, they're incentivized to have the opposite.
Wow. Right now, in real time, I am seeing Dutch like waking up, right, to realities.
He's been shown The Matrix.
Yeah, he woke up in
that's getting unplugged. That pod.
Yeah.
But how do you articulate it? Like, how do you articulate what's actually wrong with this?
So did they break down the point system?
Jules?
No.
So how are they getting
no idea.
0.26456?
Let's see.
And it's because, I'll give you the answer. It's because they just added it and then divided and then they got a number.
They did some maths.
And I feel like even the two decimal points is a marketing shtick, because I think I'm inspired that I think our point system should go out like 5 digits past the dot. So 93.14159 or something.
You know, just so that you and Dutch could have a 10-minute conversation of how you're only 0.0000001 different.
Oh, right.
There. Versus my score is 3 points.
That's this is the antithesis, right? It's a number that means nothing. It is how much I liked it or I didn't like it, which doesn't mean anything. It's not substantive. Our numbers mean something.
Yeah, exactly. And then you can easily follow along historically or on who you like closely relate to versus
if you can't defend your score against with somebody else that's tasting the same thing as you, then it's BS. And then nobody's being tested here. They don't have Dylan sitting next to them being like, why'd you score that? You're wrong. They just get to write it down and that's...
Yeah, Dutch, why'd you score that? We scored the exact same thing.
Okay, so you know what it is?
You did it for the wrong reasons.
Exactly. Okay. Completely different reasons.
This competition, I'll give you a perfect analogy. So the right thing to do is the ultimate spirits competition. The wrong thing to do is something like Dutch versus Dylan. And... Dutch versus Dylan show is like this competition where it's like some made up gobbledygook. And
I think the Dutch versus Dylan show is a whole nother level. You just can't even comprehend the fourth dimensional chess.
I want you to taste it. And what color is the cap?
True knowledge, man. That's true knowledge.
True knowledge. What is the diameter of the base of the bottle?
Oh, see, I love that. Oh, man. And then Dutch wins, right?
Exactly.
And then it's like, it's 5-0.
Oh, man. It's interesting with the entry form, too. It doesn't, I guess you have to fill out to get to the next part, but I'm just wondering what, like, the cost breakdown is on it.
The Arden 21 that I'm drinking is way better than half these on the list. And the fact that it wasn't submitted because they didn't want to pay to win, that's the problem. Because if you don't pay to win a particular year... You basically are not, you're basically arguing that you have to pay to win to be acknowledged as a good drink. If not, then it's not a good drink. So I really hate competitions other than ours.
Yeah, they all are. The one thing I will give them some credit for is if you click on the About Us, it does say that it's unique medals, only 3 medals, gold, silver, and bronze per category, just like the Olympics. We believe not everyone can be a winner. Nor should they.
Wait, but wasn't there 30 winners?
Medals. They only have 3 medals, apparently.
3 medals.
Okay, so they only gave it to the top 3 there, right?
Yeah. So that's, hey.
I like that. I like that.
We can find some positive. We can find the silver lining here. And
I mean,
I do like their marketing thing, though.
I mean, the
world's most followed whiskey competition, over 1 million viewers annually. And we just learned about this.
We do say ours is the world's most difficult spirits competition.
Right. This is the world's most followed. Largest fan base of any whiskey, only competition on social media, most comprehensive tasting method used of any whiskey competition.
Okay, guys.
Even though they don't define it.
No, I love it.
They sampled one entry at a time. No.
So, remember, guys, this is an amazing competition. The website is mandarinkazi9n.squarespace.com. So again, it just rolls.
That's just because someone failed to do the whole domain route.
Rolls off the tongue. Okay, here's the thing. Mandarin and Kavalan wins whiskey of the year. I'm just saying, okay, Mandarin-Kazoo. That's the website, people. -KZ9N probably stand for Kavalan. Whatever.
That's a good Dylan conspiracy rant.
But I do the name of the master distiller of the year, though. It's
Where's that?
Is
that
Zeros Yang. Dude, that I've never heard that name before. Zeros?
Zeros. Oh, yeah. It's literally spelled zero S-E.
Yeah. That's a...
Head of R&D.
That's cool. I gotta say. Right? I need a name like that.
And this looks like a very big deal here. There's a lot of media surrounding this.
Yeah, it is a big deal. Remember, the website, Mandarin-Kazoo-KZ9N, folks. Squarespace.
Again, over 1 million viewers annually.
And we're not sponsored by Squarespace, although we should be. You know what I think? I think because this is a money-losing endeavor, we should start getting sponsorships, but not by anybody that is like adjacent to the whiskey industry.
Oh, we have, man. We've been getting like hawked by all kinds of collab stuff, but for random things.
Yeah.
That I think you would actually appreciate, Dylan, because half of them are products from a scene on TV. So that's our level. You know, that's our level of collab.
Okay, I like that. I like that a lot. Because in the middle of the night, when I see those, I'm like, you know what? I'm gonna look this up because I'm sold on that. Because I saw that when it was that wipe. That completely coats your car and makes it completely like black and shiny. Have you seen that?
No.
Nah, you gotta watch. You gotta look at that, dude. As seen on TV, I'm sold.
Done you though.
Anyway, this group met this year. The competition took place in Louisville, Kentucky at the Evan Williams Bourbon Experience and the exclusive Louisville Thoroughbred Society means
horses.
Was there a Evan Williams product that made the list?
That'd be sad. They post that thing.
Oh, yeah. So Square 6 by Evan Williams, High Rye Bourbon, number 47. Oh. Have you even ever heard of that?
Nope. Square 6.
I've never seen this.
What I haven't seen is the website called Mandarin-KZ9N.
Oh, there you have it, guys. The take-home message from this podcast is that if you're going to release your spirits list, your spirits competition results, get the web address.
No, you know what the crazy thing about this is? They say they've been around since 2020, right? And they're still on Square. It's still being hosted on Squarespace, and they didn't buy a domain. I don't get it.
No, it's not even that. It's just more they haven't even rerouted their data.
No, you know what it feels like? You know what it feels like? It feels like all the text I get saying that I didn't pay my like fast track bills, and the number is coming from the Philippines, and I'm like.
It's always +63, isn't it?
Yeah. And is Jules sending me things? What is this?
Oh, man.
I would believe it if it keeps sending me like, oh, yeah, you didn't pay your bills. You didn't pay your bills. I'm like, dude, at least make it believable. Like, it's a +63. They should go like, your mango shipment got delayed or something. And I'd be like, okay, that's legit. That's legit right there. This is Jules.
Anyway, the corporate offices are in Las Vegas. So maybe next time we're out there, we can go knock on their door and be ready with the list of questions.
No way.
Well, all right. Until then, Jules.
Do you think their business card says Mandarin Kazoo?
I think we should go find out.
.squarespace.com. Well, if you guys listen this far, man, you guys are amazing. Thank you for listening to our podcast. If you like what we do, want to help us out, please consider joining Curiosity Private. It's a membership program on YouTube and Patreon. You get early access to videos, can help us out on choosing what we film next. Another unique content just for you. Another great way to show your support is by buying a t-shirt. Links to the store are provided in every description on every episode. As always, stay safe, stay healthy.
Stay.